You've got a handout. There's a handout that indicates to us what we're looking at, and it may seem a little bit strange, but we're starting a series on church. We are church, unity and diversity. But the first one in the series definitely ties in with what we're doing today in baptizing Aggie, because we're going to look at what we believe. And obviously, I've only got a few minutes to do that, what we believe. And you may have noticed this book, the Bible, there's a few pages in there. There's an awful lot of things that Christians and the people who go to church believe. There's a lot to our belief. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, we had it read a minute ago, so that's the first slide. Can we have the first slide? Thanks. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth. And that's what we understand and believe as church. This is the message of truth, everything in here that God wants to reveal to us. Aggie, in her testimony, shared that the Bible was being taught and she was seeing it could be applied to her life. And there was so much to learn, and there is still so much to learn. And we as Christians, some people here might have been Christians for decades, for many, many years, and there's still stuff we're learning. There's still stuff we're understanding from God's word. So there's a lot of truth, there's a lot to know, there's a lot that we believe. But today, what I want us to look at is the essentials. What's really important? What matters most for a Christian to believe? What's needed, in fact, to know and believe in order to be like Aggie, a Christian? What does someone need to believe to be part of the church? Well, this morning I can't take you through all those beliefs, like I said, but we can focus on the next slide. It says the gospel of your salvation. The gospel of your salvation. That's what is, as it were, essential to know, the gospel of salvation. The word gospel, you may already know, it just means good news. So this is good news about salvation. Salvation kind of speaks for itself. It means rescue, deliver, save from destruction, save from danger, save from death. And that's what salvation means. So there's this message in the Bible about, which is good news, about salvation, that we can be saved. And it's, as the next slide shows, it's all about Christ and believing in him. Believing in him. The person who believes in Jesus Christ, who believes this message of salvation, they get this, as it says at the end of the verse, this inheritance. An inheritance is usually something that's passed on, isn't it, from a family to other family members. And Aggie's already given testimony to the fact that when she trusted in Jesus, when she knows God, when she's come to Abbey Wood Church, she feels like part of a family. God, we now can call Father. Those who are in Christ call God Father. And they get to inherit the Father's home, which is heaven. So in a sense, that verse is telling us, in the simplest terms, we get heaven through Jesus Christ. That's what salvation is all about. And in order to receive that salvation, and we're going to explain a little bit more about that in a moment, what's involved. But in order to receive that salvation, you see in that verse there, belief, believed. That's how you get to be saved. That's how you get to have this inheritance, heaven. That's how you get to be, as it starts the verse, in Christ. It's through belief. And obviously, it's belief in the gospel, the good news about salvation, which we're going to come to. But before that, I want us to understand, obviously, you have to believe in God first, right? And that's what Hebrews 11, verse 6 says. So Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And so part of faith, and even before you believe in this gospel of salvation, is you need to believe that God exists, right? It's obvious in so many ways, isn't it? But maybe that's where you're struggling today. So we're going to get to talk about the gospel of salvation, but let's just start with belief that God exists. You know, for thousands of years, people haven't really had an issue with believing that as Aggie referred to, a higher power exists. In reality, it's only in recent times that people have questioned that. And in many ways, the evidence is seriously lacking. But the theories of evolution and Big Bang have obviously contributed to that. As a result, we're living at a time in history when maybe more people have doubts about the existence of God than ever before. As you look at anthropology, as you look at cultures from the past, every part of the world, there seems to be a God consciousness, a consciousness of God, a belief in this higher power, some kind of creator. And we heard again from Aggie that as she grew up, she had that sense that there was some higher power. And that's normal. That's actually instinctive and intuitive. And in fact, what you do tend to find is children don't have an issue in believing in the existence of God. It's more that when they go through the secondary school system or are exposed to a lot of media, then that changes. The scriptures put it like this in Romans 1, 19 to 20. It says, since what we may know about God is plain, because God has made it plain, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. And like I say, for many thousands of years, people have not had a problem believing in fact, it's been instinctive almost, because of creation, to believe in God. And that's because it's logical. It goes with everything. I mean, look at the chair you're sitting on. Look at the mobile phone you may have in your hand with the Bible on it. Look at your watch. You know, as soon as you look at it, you know someone designed that, someone created that. It didn't just come together by accident, even if you throw millions of years into the equation. And so it is with the natural world, like the human body, like a plant, a tree, which is much more complex even than your mobile phone. Reason and logic teaches us there must be someone behind this. And the Bible never tries to argue the case for God. It just says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. God is eternal. God was already there, and God has always been. And the Bible doesn't, as it were, need to. It never had to argue the case for God. Only recently, as people have been told repeatedly that we're a fluke of nature, a big bang led to us being who we are, as someone said, from goo to you over millions of years. That might be a barrier to believing in God, and maybe that's where you're at today. But let me just say this. It doesn't have to be a barrier to believing in the gospel of salvation, that you don't understand the origins of the earth. Yes, we need to believe that God exists, but many scientists do not have a problem. Some people have maybe told you, science and God, you know, they're not compatible. You can't believe in God and also be scientific. Well, a survey was taken not so long ago in the United States, a survey of scientists, all of whom are members of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. And it found that 51% of those scientists believe in some kind of God, some kind of deity, some kind of higher power. So this doesn't need to be a problem to you believing in God. But there is a problem with not believing in God, as the verse suggests. This is where the problem is. If you don't believe in God, you cannot please God. And if God is the creator of the universe and all-powerful, you don't really want to be on the wrong side of God. We want to please God. And how do we please God? Well, through faith. Firstly, believing that God exists. So that's the starting point. You have to believe that God exists. But secondly, we see there, belief or faith, if you like, is two things. Faith is believing God exists. The second thing is believing that he rewards those who seek him. Basically, believing God exists, but also believing that God is good. That God is this God that we've sang about, that we've read about, that we've heard about, a God of grace. Grace is a word that simply means undeserved favor and love, kindness. So as you look at the Bible, and what I've said at the beginning, we base everything we believe about God on this Bible. It teaches us he's a God of compassion. He's a God of kindness. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. And to faith is believing that. Believing, yes, God exists, but believing that he's this God who's good. And he rewards those who earnestly seek him. To seek simply means, doesn't it, to search, to find. You want to know. You want to get the answer. You want to discover. You want to meet with him. So faith that God wants, faith that's needed, is faith that believes that he is a good God, and it's faith that goes after him, wants to meet him, wants to know him. And God has made himself available. God is not a distant God. God is not a God who's not interested in our lives. He's a God who's made it possible for us to know him, revealing himself through this book to us. And the Bible says revealing himself to us most clearly through Jesus Christ, who came 2,000 years ago, who was God become man, who showed what God was like in the human form, so people could see how great and good God is. But Jesus' coming wasn't just to show us God up close and personal. It was also to deal with sin and bring about this salvation that we talked of earlier, that we heard about from Ephesians 1, verse 13. So that, if we go back to that verse. So when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation, when you believe, that's when you got saved. So we need to believe in this gospel of salvation, I've said. So we believe God exists. We need to believe that he's a good God who does want to be known, and he wants to reward people, the reward being that inheritance that verse talks about, heaven. And the message we need to understand and believe to experience him is the gospel of salvation. That, as Aggie's already told about, that Jesus came to deal with our sin. The Bible tells us all about how great God is, but it also reminds us, even though we know it deep down in our hearts, that everybody is sinful. Everyone does wrong, and everyone has gone against this glorious and great, perfect God. And because of that sin, the Bible says there's a wage for it. There's what we deserve for it, which is death. And so Jesus comes, and he doesn't come just to show us what God is like, great as that is. He comes also to die in our place, to deal with the punishment that we deserve. He dies, and that's where salvation happens, through his death on the cross. He died so that we could live. There's a story you may have heard. It's a true story. It happened only a couple of years ago in New Zealand. A couple were on holiday there, kind of hiking holiday, and someone saw this from the top of the mountain. They were kind of lower down the mountain, walking along, and some of the rock of that mountain started cracking and began to fall. And the husband and the wife and the down at the bottom, that they had become separated. The wife was sort of charging ahead, but she didn't see that what was happening. The husband saw what was happening with the rock face that was cracking. He ran towards her at full pelt and managed to send her flying. And she went flying flat on her face, and she was saved. But the rock fell straight on top of him. He took the weight of that rock and died in her place. And that's what happened with Jesus. He took the weight of our judgment for us. He saved us so that we can live. And that gospel of salvation is it. That Jesus Christ came and died for you so that you can live with God, know God in your life now, like Aggie's testified, but also live with God forever in that place we mentioned earlier, the inheritance, heaven itself. One more verse. I know you'll probably see the handout and think, what? There's loads left to go. I'm going to leave most of that for Tuesday, I think. So we're just going to stick with point one. And on Tuesday, we're going to look at points two and three. But Ephesians 2, verse 8, if we can look at that one. This sums it up so well. For it is by grace you've been saved. That salvation about Jesus Christ dying in your place. That's a gift from God that you receive through faith. This isn't from yourselves. It's the gift of God, and it's not by works. There's nothing you can do, nothing you have to do to receive God's favor, God's love, God's salvation. All you have to do is have faith in that gospel of salvation. And that salvation, Jesus Christ, is a gift to be received. And so, as your handout will say, it's grace alone, God's undeserved, unearned favor, his blessing, his acceptance, he's giving you a place in heaven. Grace alone. How do we get that grace alone? How do we get that salvation? Well, it's through faith alone. And it's only in Christ. It's in Christ alone that we find it. Grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And that means that every person can have this salvation, because it's simply through faith in God's goodness, in Jesus Christ, that we receive it. And this is the most important thing that we believe. And it's the only thing really you need to believe to be part of God's family, to be part of God's church, to be a Christian, to be baptized. If you know that and you believe that, then you're a Christian and you can be baptized as well, like Aggie. Of course, it doesn't end there. That's the start. Once you've become a Christian, and again, Aggie's, I mean, she's made it so clear, hasn't she? Once you've received that grace, once you know you're a child of God, then you want to live for God. And what better way to live for God than following the example of Jesus? So we end up following Jesus. Now, I know a lot of you here, you know me. Some of you have been Christians for decades. How many, I've done this before, but how many feel like they're already like Jesus? Yeah, I need to put my hand down as well. We're a work in progress. Obviously, that's the goal, to be like him, to follow Jesus. And we're going to talk a bit more about this on Tuesday. But we can't do it in our own strength ourselves. And so he gives us the Spirit. And the verses that we looked at in Ephesians, I'm just going to sum up because of time. They say that every Christian has received the Spirit like a deposit, guaranteeing their inheritance. And that Spirit also is the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, as we read. So that power, he's a person, but there's also power available for us to be like Jesus, to follow Jesus. And it's through being filled with the Spirit. Let me just finish with Ephesians 5:18, just to see that verse there. So be filled with the Spirit. If you want to follow Jesus, be filled with the Spirit. That simply means we depend on him, we involve him daily in our lives, and as we do that, we have that possibility of following Jesus Christ and being increasingly more like him. As I say, on Tuesday night, we're doing our members class for the next 3 weeks on a Tuesday night at the community center just down there, 7:45 onwards. We're going to be looking at the book of Ephesians over these 3 weeks, both on Sunday and Tuesday. Tuesday, a little bit more detail. Do come along and we'll talk more about some of our beliefs. If you've got any questions, you can come and ask questions as well. So it's an opportunity to come and ask questions. But as we finish, just let me remind you, the most important thing you need to know is this gospel of salvation. That as Peter declared, he was one of the disciples, in Acts 4, verse 12, I think we've got that one as well. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. And if we call on him, if we look to him, if we put our trust in him, then we can be saved. We can belong to God, both now and forever, and inherit heaven to come. For it's just grace. It's by grace that you can be saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. That's Aggie's experience. That can be your experience too, through trusting in Jesus Christ. If you've got any questions about that afterwards, please do talk to me. If you feel challenged in any way by what Aggie said and myself has said, but you've got questions, again, talk to us. Please talk to us afterwards.